From PRI, Public Radio International in Los Angeles, I'm Tavis Smiley. On today's program, Republican pollster Frank Luntz says he knows what Americans really want, really. Comedic actress and author Annie Corzin comes clean. She's a bargain junkie. And Grammy Award winner Terrence Blanchard teams up with Dr. Cornel West to make some beautiful music together. But first, more than 40 years ago, a young Bill Clinton, Hillary Rodham, and writer Taylor Branch moved into a Texas apartment together to work on the presidential campaign of George McGovern. The closeness between Branch and the Clintons continued beyond the campaign, and early in the Clinton presidency, they began a secret project together to provide an unfiltered look at the Clinton White House years through many late-night recording sessions containing raw emotions and countless untold stories. Branch has since compiled his notes and anecdotes connected to 79 of their dialogues for the new book, The Clinton Tapes, Wrestling History with the President. Branch joins me now on the program from the Argo Network Studios in New York. Taylor, nice to have you on this program again, sir.
Always an honor to be with you, Tavis. Thank you.
Take me back to the conversation you had with Bill Clinton when this project was actually given the green light.
Well, the conversation took place over a long period of time, but it began when he was president-elect. I hadn't seen him for 20 years. And he asked me to come down and see him in Washington and took me aside in a huge crowd with the Secret Service at Kay Graham's house and asked two questions. One, what was it like? Would I write something about what it meant for two Southerners to be president and vice president, him and Al Gore, so soon after the Civil Rights era? And number two, did I think that his library would preserve records like the ones I was using from Kennedy and Johnson years to write my civil rights books? And I was stunned that he hadn't even taken office yet, and he was thinking about that. And this project to record a secret oral history grew out of those conversations.
When the book is subtitled Wrestling History with the President, let me get the full title again, The Clinton Tapes, subtitled Wrestling History with the President, what do you mean by wrestling history with this president?
Well, first of all, I'm sitting there talking with the president and sometimes arguing with him about what really needs to be on the record for the future that is not, what he wants to say that he doesn't see in the current political culture. But secondly, a lot of our politics is wrestling over what our history means. Does it mean we should be optimistic about what politics can accomplish in our lives, in our health care, in Bosnia, in Afghanistan? A lot of our politics is wrestling with the very notion of what is and is not a natural part of politics. And quite frankly, one of the things that Bill Clinton kept saying in the course of this thing is that he wanted to restore people's ability to believe that politics was noble and that we could do something good together if we put our minds to it, because that was his legacy from growing up in the Civil Rights era when he thought the Civil Rights Movement redeemed not only the Black South in America, but the White South. Hmm. And yet we're trapped in a political culture now where a lot of people say government's no good. And as Clinton said, you know, they complain that government can't even run a two-car funeral. Hmm. And for that reason, we're paralyzed on everything from health care across the board. And it's plaguing Obama today.
One of the rubs against Bill Clinton while he was president, and certainly since he's been president, is that he spent, to the minds of some, too much time wrestling with matters rather than taking action on them. Your take on that notion?
Well, I think if you're talking about being indecisive, there is probably some of that with Clinton. But there's certainly, I think the record shows that he was not somebody who just had his finger in the wind, which is part of the common image, and that he had no principles. One of the things that strikes me is how much political risk he took, for example, to go into Haiti to bail out the government of Mexico when it was nearly bankrupt, the government of Thailand. He did it all on his own. Take on the National Rifle Association for the assault weapons ban and the Brady Bill, to take on the tobacco companies, to get rid of Joe Camel, and other things that he did. He took a lot of very principled stands, and it took a lot out of him to do it at the time.
One more question about this notion of wrestling. So we've talked about what we mean by wrestling with history. We've talked about Clinton's own personal wrestling with issues and being indecisive on certain issues. Finally, on this notion of wrestling, there are a number of reviews. I know you've read some of the reviews that are coming out about your new book, The Clinton Tapes, and there are those who made the point that to their reading, Taylor Branch wrestled himself with the role that he was playing in these conversations. Are you friend? Are you advisor? Are you diarist? Talk to me about whether there's any truth to the fact that you were wrestling with your role while you were in these conversations to help to bring forth this new text.
Absolutely. That's part of, I mean, wrestling history with the president. Yeah. I'm wrestling because what is my role? It's primarily to get down as much candid material for people when I'm dead, you know, 50 years from now, to try to be figuring out what was going on as possible. But if the President of the United States pauses and says, by the way, Taylor, should I fire the CIA director? Well, what do you say? Because my success in the primary role of a historian depends to some degree on my rapport with him, and that depends on how candid I am and how useful I am in discussing things with him. So, yes, I'm wrestling history, too. You never know what's going to happen when you sit down with the President of the United States. That's one of the things I tried to do in the book, is to convey what it's like to go into the family quarters of the White House late at night, secret. We kept it secret for all 8 years. It's been 15 years secret now. Nobody knew we were doing these tapes, and talk about everything under the sun. And you never know when Warren Christopher's going to call about doing an airstrike, or Chelsea's going to come in asking for help with her homework. You don't know what's going on.
We know now that, to your point about these conversations and the tapes being kept secret for 15 years, we know that at one point Bill Clinton was keeping these tapes in his sock drawer, literally keeping the tapes in his sock drawer, so that you did not have access to them to write the book. You wrote this book based upon your notes from those conversations. How difficult was that to do?
It was difficult because I was tired. You know, I was writing my King series starting at 5 in the morning, and I would get last-minute called in the late afternoon after working all day and go down there and record with him at night. And then when I would leave the White House, often after midnight, I'd pop another tape in my recorder, and driving all the way home to Baltimore in my pickup truck, I would record everything I could remember that happened. And that's the basis of this, everything that happened on the tapes and things that happened off the tapes when I wasn't tape recording, getting into the White House, leaving. Sometimes he would take me to the elevator and talk until with tears in his eyes. Some night he asked me to stay over. One night he asked my wife to stay over because she was a speechwriter for Hillary, and there were no pillows. And he went all around the White House trying to find a pillow for us. You never know what's going to happen. And I recorded everything that I could remember, and that became the basis of this, because I felt that if you have contact with a sitting president of the United States, you owe it to history to make a record of that. And I didn't think this project was going to last all 8 years of his presidency, but when it turned out to, I was glad, because I had a pretty complete record of what it was like to record this diary.
To your point now, when you get this kind of access to the president, you don't turn it down. You have to recognize that this is a play for history here. When you get 8 years to go secretly inside the White House to record conversations with the president, it's a big deal, obviously. How did you find yourself in a position to do this in the first place? What was your relationship with Bill Clinton prior to him asking you to do this?
I had known him 20 years before, when we were young kids in the Vietnam War era, kind of political activists. Each of us was asked to go to Texas to coordinate the McGovern campaign in 1972 together. Mm-hmm. And we knew each other just well enough in 1972 to say, that's fine. And we went down there and got an apartment together, and we lived together. So we had a very intense experience. Hillary was there too, his new girlfriend. So the three of us knew each other from 20 years before, but then I didn't see him for 20 years. And it really was like Rip Van Winkle, somebody that you knew and drank beer with and went through a very intense political campaign with as a kid. Next thing you know, he's president of the United States.
What kept Bill Clinton up at night? Give me a couple of things that he wrestled with that caused him to have sleepless nights inside the White House.
Peace processes all across the world, Bosnia, Kosovo, Northern Ireland, the Middle East, his relations with foreign leaders a great deal, health care, and then, of course, his vexation with the political coverage that he thought was obsessed with trivia that people today would have a hard time even explaining what they were, the Whitewater scandal, the Filegate, Travelgate, China Gate, that somehow he had sold nuclear secrets to the Chinese government for campaign contributions to guarantee his reelection, with Al Gore and Buddhist temples and stuff. He thought he was forever distracted by the fact that he thought the country was not paying attention to what really mattered.
In what some would regard as his darkest hour, the Monica Lewinsky saga, what was your sense of how he endured that particular saga?
Well, part of it was striking. We didn't have that many sessions. The sessions depended on him, and he didn't call for a little bit after Monica's because I guess he was in shock. When I saw him, the first thing he told me, I asked him, how can you function with the whole world discussing your sex life and what you're doing with an intern? How can you function? And he said it was easy. which surprised me. You know, he gave his State of the Union address, and approval ratings went up over 65% because he was working on all these political problems. He said, the only thing I can do is to steel myself to get up and go to work every day and try to put all this aside and say, I'm working for the American people, and everything else is between me and my family and my preacher and my conscience. When it got to impeachment, because, you know, he went through the 1998 elections, and that was politically successful. His approval ratings were very high. He won seats, and the American people didn't want the impeachment to happen. When the trial occurred, he was strangely distant. He said, I'm going to survive this. I'm not even paying any attention to it. And in those sessions, surprisingly enough, Hillary was the one who was talking about the politics of beating the impeachment. Mm-hmm. And their partnership, if not their intimacy in the marriage, was fully recovered by the time we were talking at our sessions during the impeachment.
What's your sense, then, of what the reader is going to learn from the Clinton tapes about Bill Clinton that we don't already know?
Two things I would say, Tavis, that struck me, and I'd known this guy. One, he was much more idealistic in private than the people who were writing about him. And number two, he believes that the personal and the entertaining aspects of politics should enhance the hard duty of making a democracy work, and that's a thrilling and noble enterprise, and rather than have the entertainment substitute for it or overwhelm it.
They don't come much better than Taylor Branch, and we are all the better for the work that he's done. His new one is The Clinton Tapes, Wrestling History with the President. Taylor, great job, and as always, glad to have you on this program.
Thank you, Tavis. Nice to be with you.